What do John the Baptist and Winnie the Pooh have in common? They both like honey. What do John the Baptist and Winnie the Pooh also have in common? They both don't wear any pants. What do John the Baptist and Winnie the Pooh have in common? They both have the same middle name. I love that joke. You might like it, or you might think it's trivial. You might think it's the cleverest way to open up a sermon, or the worst. Your mind might be wandering to Christopher Robin, Al, and Eeyore. Or you might be thinking, I wonder where this is going to go next. Everyone has their own opinion on sermon giving, on preaching. That's the way it should be. What's good for the gander is sometimes not good for the goose. Everyone has their favorite style, their favorite type of preaching. And everyone then has their favorite preacher. A lot of times it might be someone from one's youth, or from a time that your faith was being challenged, tested, or formed in a dramatic way. And then you can point back and remember, that was a preacher that I really liked. That was someone that brought the gospel into my heart. Or your favorite preacher might come from history, maybe Martin Luther King Jr., or maybe his namesake, Martin Luther. George Whitefield, the famous 18th century preacher of the Great Awakening, was supposedly such an amazing preacher. He could spellbind audiences with the elocution of a single word, Mesopotamia. They all would swoon. The Episcopal Church, of course, is headed by a fantastic preacher at this very moment, the Most Reverend Michael Curry, good enough for a prince and a princess. Everyone has their favorite preacher. Who is Jesus' favorite preacher? John the Baptist, the main figure in our gospel reading today. What do John the Baptist and Jesus have in common? They are often confused for one another in the New Testament. Herod confuses them, early Christians will confuse the two. What do John the Baptist and Jesus have in common? They both were about the same age, cousins, in fact. What do John the Baptist and Jesus have in common? Their preaching was what eventually will get them killed. We know the esteem that Jesus holds for John because Jesus decides to begin his public ministry by being baptized by his cousin John. We know that John is a great preacher because as we read in our gospel today, John is able to call the crowds all sorts of things under the sun, yet they continue to flock to him. The fact that the crowd asks John the Baptist three times what to do and he gives them all tough marching orders, yet they stay. That's a sign of a good preacher, I suppose. Imagine the courage that John possessed to call out those who were in front of him, to call them, to push them, to call for repentance, to castigate them towards a greater life of faith. It would be easier to rest in the bosom of Abraham, to rest in God's abiding grace. But John the Baptist called them out then, and calls us out today to acknowledge the injustice of our society, to take action against the social inequality around us. John the Baptist calls out the modern day preacher to ask their congregation what they are doing in terms of preparing for the Christ in their midst. Rarely does a preacher want to do that. It would be like if the late Billy Graham, the Reverend Billy Graham, himself an inspiring preacher, after he had made the altar call for all in the stadium to come down to him, the thousands were making their way to him, he had decided at the last second to chastise them and turn them around. Everyone has their favorite preacher, and John the Baptist was a good one for Jesus to choose. The two men were very different, of course. Let's take their diet for one thing. John the Baptist preferred to dine alone on bugs and honey. Jesus of Nazareth would eat with anyone, tax collectors and prostitutes. He didn't seem to mind a good party. And in terms of their preaching style, Jesus' good news sounds a lot more like good news, whereas John the Baptist was more fire and brimstone. Jesus could work in many different styles, but he could let it rip every now and then. Everyone has their favorite preacher. It's interesting that when John stops his preaching, Jesus starts his. And when Jesus stops his preaching, we start ours. The disciple Peter will deliver the church's very first sermon on the day of Pentecost. It's pretty good. Second chapter of the book of Acts. But it's not quite Jesus. Paul picks up the preaching and all the rest of the disciples. It's tempting to say that it's been downhill ever since. But then we remember those incredible preachers from our lives. As your Advent devotional today, I invite you to share with your family and friends what the best sermon that you ever heard was, or who your favorite preacher is. But of course, the preacher's job is not really to give good sermons for their own sake. It's not to demonstrate one's own skill or excellence. At seminary and sermon-giving class, we were told that when the illustration overwhelms the point, so the listeners are inspired by the finger rather than what you're pointing at, then you're in trouble. There was once a preacher who gave a dynamic sermon where he tried on lots of hats. For years, people would talk about that sermon and him trying on those hats. The only problem was that pretty soon, neither he nor the congregation could remember why he was trying on those hats. The illustration overwhelms the point. The preacher's job, of course, is to point to Christ, to somehow say, "Don't look at me. Instead, look at God's abiding love breaking through in the world. Can you see it?" Usually, it's a failure, but maybe a glimpse every once in a while through a glass, darkly. One does. Maybe you can't see it, but you can see it reflected in the preacher themselves. Everyone has a favorite preacher, and John the Baptist was many people's. He understood the above point, and he was humble enough and not thinking and accepting the crowd's judgment that he was the one. He also was not timid. He told the truth. Again, he told the truth to the powers that be, and that got him killed. I pray that we all have John the Baptist's courage and humility in this Advent season, the courage to focus on the message, no matter how difficult, and see examples of Christ appearing in our midst. I pray that we all have the courage to proclaim in these difficult times that message, the coming of Christ, regardless of the cost. Everyone has a favorite preacher. One of my favorites is Eugene Peterson, the author of The Message and countless other books. Eugene Peterson recently died, and in the remembrances after his passing, it was revealed that his son once told him this: "Dad, you've been fooling everybody all along. You actually only have one sermon that you preach over and over and over again." His son revealed his dad's one message was something that Peterson repeated to him night after night when his son was going to bed. That message echoes the preaching of John the Baptist and is a fitting message for this Advent season. Peterson called out to his son, "God loves you. He's on your side. He's coming after you. He's relentless." A voice crying in the wilderness, "God loves you. He's on your side. He's coming after you. He's relentless." Amen.